hate you. I don't even know you. And I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else. But
something. So this is the thing. It's...
Yeah,
Joey, you recently you found a baby online on TikTok, a famous baby that like knows how to kick really hard.
Well, yeah, so you're making it not sound as crazy as it is, but what happened was my friend Cole sent me a video and he goes, "Dude, there's this super baby that exists in Puerto Rico."
Joshua the super baby.
Joshua the super baby is his name, and he goes, "You're not going to believe this. There's a super baby." And I'm like, what are you talking about? A super baby. He's making it sound like he has powers or something.
He kind of does.
Well, he kind of does. So I'm like, so he sends it to me and I look at it and it's this 1 year old baby. He's 1 year, 1 year and 1 month old. And he's doing martial arts where he's kicking like a water jug they got him kicking.
Yeah.
And he's kicking it so hard that it looks physically impossible for a baby to be that strong and that coordinated at that age. So I'm watching it, and then I go down a rabbit hole where I go to, I find his page, and I look at a bunch of his videos, and not only is he doing that, but he's doing the trick where he's kicking the lid off
the
of
lid
the
off bottles, which is insane, yeah.
Completely insane.
He's 1 year old.
Adults can't do that.
Joshua is 1 year old.
Like, that's a hard trick for, adults go viral because they can do that.
If I did that kick, I'd start cramping and squealing. Like
And the coordination that it takes to kick at a bottle and only hit the lid... It's like, you know, the fact that adults go viral doing it means that it's very hard and impressive. But so anyways, this baby's doing this amazing stuff. He's got tremendous power. So I go to his page and I find out that his dad runs the page.
Right, of course.
And on one of the videos, the dad goes, "By the way, I'm coming to Los Angeles pretty soon. If you live in Los Angeles," he's a Brazilian guy. "If you live in Los Angeles, call me right now and we'll set up a training session."
Yeah.
Trying to monetize.
He's immediately trying to pimp Joshua the
He's
super
trying to
baby.
Monetize this sensation, this super baby.
He is
right?
A sensation. The fuck it's unbelievable baby.
No, it's remarkable. It's truly the most amazing baby I've ever seen.
So then you coordinated it and that's what we're about to watch. You coordinated
So I call the dad and this is what happened.
Yeah, let's watch Joshua the super baby.
"I can't believe how good he is and how powerful his kicks are, and his form is incredible. I've never seen anything like it at that age."
"Yeah, thank you so much, and it's amazing. It's kind of like it's incredible. You like big masters, like the martial art master. They call me all the time. They said how that happened. Is that kid like it?"
"One other question before I let you go. I don't know what like the legality of this is, but would you guys be open to putting Joshua the Super Baby up against Hasbullah, the Dagestani dwarf who is popular online right now? He's like 2 feet tall and he's not that strong. Like, I think Joshua would probably destroy him."
"Man, it's no problem. Joshua is like..."
"We can do it?"
"Yeah."
"Perfect." So I'm thinking he's laughing. He's going to be like, "Okay, get off my phone." "That's amazing.
He's right.
I love hearing 500,000 pay per view buys." "Absolutely. No, I think it would be really good for Joshua money-wise. I think he..."
So I'm telling him we're
going to
do 500,000 pay-per-views.
"Like if you catch you on the guard, he can break a bone."
"Jesus Christ. He breaks bones?"
"Yeah. Oh, my God. I had to show it. Man, he broke this metal bar on the gate yesterday. I caught on video. And he kicked so strong, the metal bar came out of..."
"What?
Holy shit. I'm going to another meeting, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to Hasbullah, the Dagestani dwarf, and we're going to set this up, and we'll probably just rent, like, an octagon. We'll probably have to do it in, like, Mexico or Florida, just because, like, the laws, they're not going to commission a baby fight, but..."
Florida will definitely let babies fight each other.
Florida, yeah. Florida's the guys that did Logan Paul versus Mayweather. Nobody else would do it.
Yeah.
In America.
Logan Paul would fight Josh with a super baby.
Oh, for sure.
Can you imagine that?
If the money was right.
So this Dagestani dwarf, the guy...
Well, there was more of that.
Let's keep
it
going.
It gets
going.
Better.
That was the whole video.
Oh, shit.
That was the whole video. Josh with a super baby. But we could set this up.
More.
It sounds like you're the promoter. You're like the Don King of babies.
Yeah, no.
Logan Paul would be like, "Got your nose." And the baby's like, "No one gets my nose. No one takes my nose."
And beat him up.
"Who took my nose?"
But so I talked to him and he agreed to have baby Joshua fight Hasbullah, the Dagestani dwarf.
Immediately.
That'd be amazing. The baby could fight Floyd Mayweather. They both have the same reading level.
No, yeah, Floyd can't read.
Yeah, he's the same as Joshua the Super Baby when it comes to
yeah,
being no, literacy.
Can't deny that. But yeah, so we're in talks, me and Joshua's dad. And basically, I just need to get in touch with Hezbollah. And then once that's done, we need to find a venue. And that's going to be the trickiest part.
Is the dwarf going to be able to fly out? Are we going to be able to get a little dwarf from Dagestan to come out here?
Yeah, if the money's right, he'll come out.
If the money's right.
I have the last two parts if you want to see.
Oh, yeah, let's finish.
The money's right. All we could do is give him a goat.
He's actually a very wealthy Dagestani. He's friends with, like, Habib and...
He's like a dwarf. He looks like a baby, but he's, like, 30 years old.
Yeah, he's, like, 35, I think.
He's like the Andy Milonakis of babies.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Rent, like, an octagon. We'll probably have to do it in, like, Mexico or Florida just because, like, the laws. They're not going to commission a baby fight, but... I'm going to look into the logistics of it, and we're going to make it happen, man.
A baby fight.
Okay, make it happen. It's just for fun.
He goes, okay, make it happen.
We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir, man. Let's make it happen. Let's bring the whole world, like, enjoy something different for us, you know?
Absolutely. So much. Okay, take care, my friend.
Thank you, brother.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
That guy's great. He's like, let's enjoy something different for once. He's like, can we finally have some different entertainment? And by that, I mean my infant child and a Dagestani dwarf. And the dwarf might kill my baby. But it's new. It's going to be new.
He goes, can we finally have babies fighting midgets?
He's like, can we finally mix up this goddamn landscape of fighting? Enough of the adults v. adults. It's time for a baby versus a dwarf. I'm sick of this.
Enough of all these politics, this moonlight bullshit, all right? Let's get a baby in the ring.
I love how he's just, I mean, the baby could, Joshua the Super Baby could die.
Well, I think he would actually win.
That Dagestani dwarf would kill him.
Did you see him hitting the mitts?
He's only got a kick. Once the dwarf punches him.
He's only got a kick. So did, like, Lyoto Machida, but he was the UFC champ.
Call me crazy, but I think this might be considered abuse.
Well, I'm not here to judge one way or the other. I'm in talks with the dad. So
you're the promoter. You're not.
I'm the promoter.
Judge.
I can't say.
Yeah.
I can't really say. I can't weigh in on that. But so what I will say is that we're making it happen, and it's going to go down. We're hoping for 2021.
2021. Well, it is 2021.
No, this year we're hoping for the fight going down this year. And
we might actually be able to make this happen. The dad was very into it.
I'm going to make it happen.
You're going to make it happen.
I know it's going to happen. And yeah, the dad's in, so we have his permission. We just have to find a venue. And I think Gerardo has friends in Mexico. I've been to Mexico. I have a couple of friends there. I think, do you know about what they do? Like for, do you not have a mic?
No.
Just what do they do?
For what?
What are you asking?
No, yeah.
So, Mexicans don't fight babies.
Do you know about the Athletic Commission in Mexico?
No.
Okay, so Gerardo doesn't know. But basically, I think probably they kind of seems like every like city in Mexico has their own rules a little bit. So if we go to like a real shit part of Mexico, I think, and you pay off a couple of guys.
Tijuana might make it happen.
Exactly. Tijuana, they have donkey shows there.
Right.
Right? Right. So that's
go to a
bestiality.
Donkey show. You watch Joshua the Baby fight a Dagestani dwarf.
A donkey show is the prelim.
It's the prelim. It's Joe Rogan's announcing.
Yeah, yeah.
Joshua the Baby comes out wearing an OnlyFans hat, like at Devin's t-shirt. He's sponsored. He's got Pornhub on.
Yeah, we could get this going. We could also probably, I mean, listen, Chuck E. Cheese is on their last legs. We could get a Chuck E. Cheese to rent out this fight.
Dude, Chuck E. Cheese is hurting.
Chuck E. Cheese would be into this. Yeah, Chuck E. Cheese sells alcohol now because they're trying to cater to, like, pedophiles. They're like, listen, you get a little hammered, you touch the kids, it's fine. They have Wi-Fi at Chuck E. Cheese. Like, people are going there to, like, work on their screenplay.
Oh, wow.
Which is hilarious to me. But, yeah, Chuck E. Cheese would rent this out.
Chuck E. Cheese, I think, so I'll look at Chuck E. Cheese's and then other countries. And then Florida. Florida probably.
Toys R Us. The Dagestani dwarf versus Joshua the Baby in an aisle of a Toys R Us.
So it seems like you're just targeting places that are going out of business. And
yeah, places going out of business.
Okay.
They're desperate.
Well, the problem with that is we need the Athletic Commission for the state to sign off on it, or it's illegal. If we do a baby versus fight in a Chuck E. Cheese, we're going to jail.
What if we just kind of say it happened? What if we just say, like, Joshua the Super Baby, like, tried to steal, like, the Dagestani dwarf's, like, toy, and they just started going at it, and we just happened to be filming it?
In an octagon.
In an octagon.
With a bunch of
we just go, we happen to have set up an octagon, there's a crowd, but it was just a random fight in the middle of a Toys R Us.
That's actually a loophole that might work.
It's a loophole. Yeah. Well, I've been watching a lot of audits, so, you know.
You know the law.
A lot of legal loopholes around here. I wonder what Ammon Gansel would say about Josh with the Super Baby.
I think that will actually work. So we go, hey, we're doing like a, we'll call it like it's a Broadway show, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, this is theater. We're not actually...
Exactly. It's like how guys get away with smoking on stage.
Yeah. So we'll go, hey, come on down. We're doing, buy tickets. It's going to be a play where it's going to be, a baby is fighting a Dagestani dwarf, but it's a play. And then, but in reality, they are both swinging for the fences.
Yeah, it's a play. This is Tennessee Williams. Yeah. He wrote this. Tennessee Williams wrote Joshua the Super Baby.
Yeah,
Super Baby on a hot tin roof.
It's an adaptation of a famous play, and it's a little different, but that's our creative license.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that, they accidentally made a little contact. Accidentally, Joshua the Super Baby.
They just accidentally made some contact.
He accidentally... cut up Hasbulla's face.
Listen, we accidentally killed a baby. That's what we say. We're carrying Joshua out in a bag, like it's a dog fight. Jesus.
Oh, no.
But that is, I can't believe the dad is into this. Also, I can, because, maybe he's desperate. The baby might be the biggest thing in his whole family line. He's like, I can't believe my baby.
So I will say that I spoke to the dad for about 10 minutes, and we cut it down to a minute or whatever that was. But I spoke to him for like 10 minutes, and he gave me his whole background. So he was a famous Taekwondo world champion, and he's a legendary trainer. And the kid looks white, and he's like Brazilian.
Yeah, that's what I was a little confused about.
So it might
be
a stepkid, honestly. It might be a stepkid, or maybe it's just like one of those weird genetic things where the other person's DNA overpowered it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it might be, because at one point I was like, you got some super cum, dude. That's an amazing baby. And he kind of like brushed it off in a way where it was like, oh, maybe that's not his
right.
But, because he instantly started going like, well, no, I have an ability to train kids, all kids.
That's a little creepy.
Hmm.
Well, no, he's a martial artist. It wasn't creepy. He was doing it in a way where he was trying to promote himself as a trainer, like to like build up his gym and stuff. He thought that I was a big, big fight promoter and like a guy with connections.
I could tell. He thought he was talking like fucking Dana White.
Yeah, exactly. I made myself sound like Dana White. So, anyways, we're gonna make it happen.
It'd be amazing.
It's in Mexico. It's at the, Chuck E. Cheese, whatever. It's going down in 2021, and I think it's going to be big.
I'm not kidding. I feel like there is if we get the dad to sign some paperwork and maybe the baby signs some paperwork and the Dagestani dwarf does, is it illegal? I think we can do this. Is it any different than TikTok stars fighting? I mean, I don't really see a difference, especially mental capacity-wise. I don't see any difference. Logan Paul versus,
I thought you were
Bryce
saying,
Hall.
I thought you were saying that midgets are, they don't have
the I keep forgetting that the Dagestani dwarf's not a baby.
He's not a baby. No, he's he's like, I think, our age, but he has a cute baby face.
Yeah.
And like all of his friends pick him up and like hold him. So he seems like a baby online, but he's an old man, or he's like a, middle-aged guy.
Yeah.
And he somehow just stays young. You know what I mean?
Remember that? He just somehow stays young. By the grace of God, he's staying young.
Like he's got a beauty regimen where he's putting lotion.
He wears sunscreen. The Dagestani dwarf. He has a good sunscreen regimen.
What's your secret, Dagestani dwarf? SPF.
He drinks What's your secret? I drink a lot of wine. I eat nuts. I have eat a lot of fish. It's the same.
Fish oil.
But yeah, that'll be great if we get that to happen.
I'm going to work on it. I'll work on it. We'll keep you guys posted. So that's the Patreon. That's going to go on the Patreon.
We're going to have
fight,
this baby,
the baby
fight.
All the updates, because I talked to the dad. I have his number. He's
Patreon.com/HateWatchPodcast.
Yeah, so I saved his number, and he really loved what I was saying. And all the updates going
he
on the
was
Patreon.
In.
Yeah.
He was in.
Yes.
Way too quick.
I don't want to say it, but we'll put the bit aside for a second. Of course it was alarming, the fact that he was like, I'll have my baby fight in a cage against a dwarf. Yeah, of course, that was weird. Yeah, it was
uncomfortable. He doesn't seem to understand the power of a dwarf.
You know, and
the dwarf is going to kill the baby.
I have seen that dwarf swing really hard punches.
Yeah.
And if you go online and like just type in like Hasbulla Megamedov, that's his name.
His name's Hasbulla. It sounds. I keep thinking you're talking about like Hezbollah, but yeah.
Yeah, no.
Hasbulla, the baby, or the dwarf.
Hasbulla Megamedov. And yeah, you'll see him swinging hard pit punches at like his you know, regular size friends. And he's like giving them bloody noses and shit.
Well, that baby doesn't
look good. Doesn't look good for the
baby.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Did you see how hard those kicks were from the baby?
The kicks don't matter,
dude. If you kick that dwarf,
if that baby tried to kick me, I'd flick it.
You would.
I would beat that baby.
No, you're okay, but you're a grown, regular sized person.
I feel like good about myself, like talking about.
Yeah,
how much
I would destroy
the shit out of that baby.
Destroy that baby.
I'd fuck that baby up.
No, but I think against Hasbulla, I really think that if we could train the baby, Joshua the Super Baby, to drive hard kicks into like his upper thigh.
Yeah.
And like, remember when Conor got taken down by Dustin Poirier from those upper calf kicks?
Kind of, yeah.
Well, so it was Conor versus Dustin, biggest fight like in the last year. And Dustin completely took out his striking ability by targeting his upper calf, because when you're like when you're a boxer, which is what Hasbulla is, as well as Conor,
the Dagestani dwarf,
if you know a boxing stance requires you to be able to like shift weight between your legs,
right?
So if Joshua just targets the leg, gets him off his stance, and then you know throw that basically lands a kick to the face,
yeah,
he's going out,
right?
So,
interesting.
Yeah,
it's just I just already imagine the fight. Like they both go to their corners, and the dad's like jiggling keys in front of Joshua the Super Baby to keep him keep him entertained.
He goes to his corner instead of like water. They're giving him like milk.
Yeah, they're giving him milk.
You got a baby.
I mean, honestly,
they're changing his diaper.
The ref calls in like a diaper changer. And, like, he shit his pants.
It sounds to me like this dad is trying to have a living abortion. Like he's just kind of trying to figure out a loophole to
not
kill his baby.
What he's trying to do, it's like a classic child star situation.
It is a classic.
But he's taking the tiniest amount of fame, and he's basically just going like, "All right, we got a pay per view." And he's explaining to his like wife, he's like, "All right, you know how Joshua is kind of going viral?" She's like, "Yes." What about it? You go, okay, well, we gotta go to Mexico for something. So, what are you talking about? He's fighting a Dagestani dwarf on pay-per-view, and it's going to be a blood sport.
Well, the dwarfs are... the Dagestani dwarf is... the Dagestani dwarf. Does he have the same strength like as an infant? No, right? It's like he has definitely more strength. He's got like more regular people strength.
Well, so compared to a normal infant, he's way stronger, but compared to the super baby, it's actually really close, and that's what makes it such an exciting matchup, and that's why it's going to do very well on pay-per-view.
Yeah. No, this baby is amazing. I mean, this baby fought its way off of Epstein's Island. What if Joshua's the Super Baby's so strong? It kicked the shit out of like Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein and everybody. Dershowitz.
He was in the basement of Comet Pizza.
Comet Ping Pong.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. We'll do it.
I have a video of him fighting a monkey.
Oh. Let's play the damn video of is it the Super Baby
no,
or the Dagestani? The Dagestani dwarfs fighting a monkey? Okay, here we go.
He's fought a lot of animals.
Oh my god. Well, monkeys are strong.
He didn't get owned by the monkey. That's bullshit.
Monkeys are very strong.
No, he didn't, dude. He that monkey got lucky.
Oh, wow. Oh yeah, he's good. He's got a good choke.
Oh yeah. No, he's strong. He's got like good wrestling. So that's like the one thing
That is pretty strong for
if he
dwarf.
Takes baby Joshua down.
Do dwarfs tap into trisomy 21 strength?
What is that?
Retard strength?
Oh, I'm not going to go there.
Oh my God.
They made a whole movie like based around that pretty much. That wrestling movie.
He's holding a gun?
He has guns.
The Dagestani dwarf has a gun.
So that's the other...
That does look a lot like a baby holding a gun.
He's a cute baby, but...
oh, he's just firing the gun in the air like it's a like a Mexican on the 4th of July.
Look at him. I think that's when he gave his friend a bloody nose.
This baby, is that a, or this dwarf, is out of control?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's big.
Look at him go.
He's big right now. He's got like 50 million views on YouTube.
Is that another dwarf?
Yeah.
So, he looks tired.
So
of
that's the current.
He's like, let me at him. Let me at him.
They're trying to promote that fight, but the other dwarf, his name is Abderesk, he dropped out of the fight.
Wow.
So what we need is a replacement, and I think Baby Josh with the super baby is going to
step in. I
think
you're right. I didn't know about this history of the Dagestani dwarf and his competitors.
Well, if you saw Boardwalk Empire, you know they did this in like the 20s. Dwarf fights were.
Yeah.
Totally normal.
And we're going to try and evolutionize that as a dwarf via baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Infant. You know when, this is just real quick, I learned this from the show Dave, the little Diggy show.
Yeah.
In Korea, maybe it's false, but maybe you can look this up, Gerardo. I think in Korea, they don't, when you're born, you're one.
You start at one.
You start at one.
Yeah,
they don't go like 3 months, four months, five months.
So everyone's actually
They're like a year younger. Yeah, they're 1 year younger in Korea.
So maybe it would help legally.
I was thinking maybe there's like a loophole.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
So we take him there.
We say,
yeah. Now he's two.
We say Josh with a super.
Now it's legal.
We pull like a Dominican Republic Little League Baseball thing where we fake the age. We're like, he's 8 years old.
Now, you know what we should do?
He's 21.
Well, first the commission's going like, what's going? So we bring it to the athletic commission and they're going like, what in the fuck are you bringing me? And we go, I see what you think. It looks bad, but here's Hasbullah and here's his papers. And they're like, oh, he's actually 30 years old. Oh, my bad. I didn't know he had a disability. I'm sorry. And then we go, and here's baby Joshua. We have fake papers, but now their mind is open to all kinds of freak babies.
Right.
And so now they're more, open to basically accepting that baby Joshua is actually 30 years old.
We got to wean them into the world of baby fights.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, we could also say maybe he's Korean. The Brazilian was living in Korea. If he's younger, it wouldn't help. He'd be older. He'd be like 2 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll figure out a way.
We'll figure it out.
It's like dog years or something.
Well, yeah, dog years, yeah.
Baby Joshua's getting breastfed in the middle of the fight.
Bring in the views if the mom has her tits out.
She has a nice
ringside. Her rack is just her juicy rack is sitting there, and Joshua the super baby's just sucking on it. We'd get so many. How many people? I mean, like, you know, degenerates, pedophiles, guys that just want to see babies suck tits.
Also,
every audience would be there,
and us,
and
totally normal guys.
Yeah, people that watch bum fights are going
to
be on there.
What happened to the bum fights guy? He got embarrassed on Dr. Phil, and I think that was his last.
I think bum fights got shut down by the federal government.
Really?
Yeah. I think that they're basically just like this is somehow crime.
Yeah. Gavin Newsom just hired the bum fights guy to fix up the homeless problem in LA.
He goes, here's your budget. It's a bunch of glass bottles. You give one guy, a glass bottle.
Here's your budget. When I saw bum fights as a kid or a teenager, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is a
bit much.
It's
but
insane.
I couldn't turn away.
No,
actually, I could. It was.
Do you remember when the bum fights guy went on Dr. Phil dressed as Dr. Phil?
Yeah, he shaved his. He shaved the male pattern.
He had the whole thing, and Dr. Phil kicked him out. And he's like, "What? What's wrong?"
Yeah.
Like, just
he went
trolling
full
him.
Heel. Yeah, he was being like a fight promoter heel scumbag. But the problem with that is that he was actually
like a real
making
bad
homeless
guy.
People like kill each other. And
yeah,
shit.
He was a really bad guy.
So
anyway. Well, we're going to be better than the bum fights guy. Okay, we're just trying to fight babies.
My biggest problem with bum fights is that I don't know how to cancel my membership. So, like every month, it's like $29 bum fight, and I call bum fights. I go, take me off, and they, nobody's it's out of business.
No, it's like Bang Bros. You just can't figure out how to end it. Yeah. Well, the Many Saints of Newark trailer came out, and this has been the biggest. Event of our lives. We've been waiting for this movie for fucking, 2.5-3 years now?
And it kept getting delayed.
And it kept getting delayed because of COVID and everything, and they even delayed it longer because they just want people to go see it in the theater. Obviously, we are Sopranos super fans, and this movie coming out, I I watched the trailer and it almost didn't connect with me because it's so overwhelming that it's happening.
Yeah.
And that all these characters, you're going to, like, you're like, that is young Tony. That's young. Yeah. Are we going to see, like, that's young Carmella. It's just, it's insane. It feels to me like it's the equivalent. Because The Sopranos, like, is my life. It's like it's the greatest thing ever made. I've related it to life. It's given me panic attacks before. It's just a meditation on life, in my opinion.
My favorite thing is when you said the Sopranos to me is like an adult pacifier.
Yes.
What were you saying, Jerome? Oh, I'm sorry.
It's like an adult pacifier. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's something I always go to, and it just calms me down. Like, I'll just be like a baby, like Josh the Super Baby. I'll just be like, yeah, yeah. If I put on a Sopranos, I just go, it just starts feeling like I'm sucking on the teat of comfort.
Me too.
Because it's just, it's everything. Yeah. The Sopranos is the most beautiful show ever crafted. And this prequel is like, it's to me, it's the equivalent of finding out what happens, like before you're born. It's almost like there's a movie coming out where it's like showing me where we all come from.
I've been
like
nervous.
The ether. Yes. Like, it's explaining the ether to me.
I love that.
The thing is, I wasn't sure how I felt about the trailer.
So neither am I. And the first time I watched it, I was rock hard. I was like, you know, it was edited like The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. It's edited not Sopranos-y. Like,
no,
it's
no.
edited very like Hollywood movie.
So after the first watch, I've basically come back and been like, that scares the hell out of me. But on the first watch, I'm watching it and I'm going like, it's been so fucking long to see any new Sopranos content that it just, I was going nuts.
When the song comes on at the end, I was like losing it. Why don't we watch it? You want to?
Oh, hell yeah.
Let's watch it. Oh my god.
When I was a kid.
Oh my god.
Jesus.
Listen, hey,
already.
Fucking voice.
I'm already. It's happening again.
Jesus.
Hey, jerk off.
What'd you say?
What?
Gandolfini looked good in that shot, by the way.
That, yeah.
I wonder if I can talk to you alone for
a
moment.
He's a leader.
Mrs. Soprano. On the basis of the
Sanford, you think David Scatino's in this?
IQ.
Oh, I would love
you
Scatino.
Can't prove it by me. He's got a D plus average.
Livia looks great too, and she's got the
he
eyes down.
Yeah. By himself, but he is smart. The results tell
God,
us.
This is
he's a leader.
Uncle Dick.
Dickie.
With the family.
I want to throw a brick through a window.
Me too. I want to fucking start a riot. Let's go to Newark and start a riot.
I want to do whatever I can to help you.
I hate this song. I gotta say, I hate this song.
So do I, but when it's to this, I'll let you get away with it a little bit.
Hopefully there's multiple trailers.
Right? At the same time, you say to yourself, this is the last time I'm ever going to
It's kind of a wire move. You know, redoing the song?
Yeah.
Let me go talk to him.
He only listens to Dickie.
Gotta do something about Dickie Malasani.
Maybe some of the things you do.
Ray Liotta. He's doing his laugh.
Favorite.
Who does Ray play?
I think Ray plays Tony's dad. I'm not
by
sure.
Example?
Oh my god. No.
I think we'll he's Johnny Soprano. I can't tell. Here we go.
As far as your nephew goes.
Here we go. Here we go. Listen to that.
I'm listening. Stay out of his life.
Here we go.
Oh, I'm gonna come.
Dude.
Oh, I'm coming.
Dude.
All right, that time was, it's actually the greatest movie ever made already.
The more I watch
it,
the more I
okay.
like it and get excited.
It's waves. It's waves, and then you'll sit,
woo!
You know, go on.
Oh,
get it out of your system.
That's so much.
It's overwhelming.
It's like finding out what happens when you die.
It's it's honestly,
this is, I mean, this is all we've ever needed.
It's exciting and it's also horrifying.
You see, I'm terrified. If like reviews come out like a week before it comes out and people are kind of like, meh about it, well, you and I, we have made a pact. We're going to kill ourselves,
yeah.
Right?
No, yeah, we'll kill ourselves.
You
for
said
that.
we'll drink poison wine or something.
Well, no, what we're going
to
do is
we're going to go to Holston's Diner in New Jersey and we're going to eat poison onion rings.
We'll put cyanide on the onion rings and then we'll pay some chick to walk, like, you know, parallel park.
And I'll stand up and I'd be like, blast it, and then Don't Stop Believing on, and Joey and I are gonna, like, we're gonna hold up our onion rings full of cyanide and we're gonna go like, it was a good run.
Yeah.
It was a good run. We're gonna eat them like the sacrament, like how they did at the end of Sopranos. They all ate it was always very interesting to me. Another thing, if you're a Sopranos super fan, you look into that, they kinda eat their onion rings like the sacrament.
Sure.
Like,
absolutely.
Like they're,
communion.
Like they're about to die.
Taking communion. Yeah, like, no, it's a symbolism. Definitely that symbolism. That's a fact. I don't know.
I don't know, man. All I know, I love the Pauly in the trailer. He holds his two fingers out and he goes right there.
See, that's the thing. That's also what's scary is they're putting so much fan service into the trailer where it's like, because, you know, the phone booth scene is based on when Tony, after he fought Bobby, he was like, you know, calm. You know, when I beat that guy, what was the guy's name that he fought?
I forget his
name. But he goes, when I fought that guy, you've never been more attracted to me. And so that phone booth scene was that scene. And it looks like a lot of the trailer is just kind of...
And you're right about that, but that doesn't make any fucking sense if... hopefully the trailer's just a trailer, because that doesn't make any sense.
What do you
mean? The way in the trailer, the way it shows, it's just like, I thought that's his friend calling him a jerk off. Like, I didn't know, like, it doesn't even make sense why he fights him.
I think probably they'll, in the movie,
yeah, there's history.
I hope to God there's history
between the two characters before that scene. So it makes,
hopefully,
I'm sure it makes sense.
And that's Carmella outside the phone booth.
That's
which
my
is
theory.
Fucking insane.
This is a personal theory. I haven't read this online, I haven't seen
it. But I didn't
else
see,
a,
I didn't really even see a woman.
It's the wide shot right before
the
they
wide,
cut. There's a blonde chick wearing his Letterman jacket in the wide shot.
Interesting.
It's got
to
be Carmella.
It just simply has to be. But that's what scares me, though, where it's like, if all of these scenes are fan service scenes where it's just kind of like, remember that in The Sopranos? Remember when Tony said that? It's like, if that's the movie, it's going to be bad.
No, it's
going
to be bad, but I can't imagine it will, because David Chase is in control.
He wrote it, but he didn't direct it.
I know, but Alan Taylor directed it, and who's done a million amazing Sopranos episodes. It's like, it's just, it seems like it's too controlled by the makers of the Sopranos. Like, David Chase wrote it.
Yeah.
He definitely has last call on everything.
Well, I don't know about that.
Fuck.
I would like to, you know how much they got paid for it and stuff like that, but my fear is that David Chase wrote the script, and then he was like, you know, this seems really good, and then the studio came in and they were like, that's a really good script, but if we make it a little bit more like The Sopranos, we'll give you an extra $100 million.
I don't know about that. I can't imagine fucking this all up.
Here's why I think that is because he's getting very old. He's probably to an age where if you're David Chase and you're like the biggest genius of all time, the best creative genius ever, you're getting older and you're approaching death and you're like, I'm kind of, what am I, a young artist? He's like, no, I made a great thing. Who gives a fuck? I want money for my family. I earned it. Let me stop fucking around. Let me leave $100 million to my family. And then the other thing that supports that for me is...
like we're talking about, it's like David Chase's Spotify deal.
It is, exactly.
Everyone's going to watch The Sopranos or the movie, The Many Saints of Newark, and be like, the sign sucks. What's with your new studio? Your new studio looks like shit, Tony. Yeah.
But also the fact that he didn't direct it. It makes me think that he got to a point where he was like, he made a compromise where he was like, you pay me that amount of money. Hmm. Yeah, we'll do it your way, but I'm not directing it.
Maybe.
Putting my hand...
But
why would he direct?
He directed the pilot. He would direct season finales here and there.
But he was always fully in charge.
Which is what I imagine he had to be during this movie.
But
he's
not
fully in charge.
But the reason he didn't direct every episode is because you simply can't do that on a TV show. Your schedule would be a nightmare. You would die.
I don't know, man. The man is so depressed.
I know that's...
When we watch Talking Sopranos, the episode they had with him, he's so, like, just still David
Chase.
He's
a sullen, depressed man. That's another reason why I think he was probably just depressed. He's, like, probably in a mood where he's like, I don't give a fuck about
this. But he hates bad things. Like, he hates cheesy, corny things. I'm hoping to God, I think this is just a editor that's like, they're giving me the Sopranos movie. I'm going to edit it. Like a fucking big Hollywood movie, and so maybe it's just, maybe it might not have the tone of the movie at all. I mean, the Inglourious Basterds trailer is not Inglourious Basterds, the movie. Like, there's many movie trailers where it's completely different in tone than the movie.
And,
the Inglourious Basterds trailer, you're like, oh my god, this is gonna be like fucking just some big shoot 'em up, just like them beating the shit out of Nazis and killing Nazis, and then it starts and it's like a slow, like, European film. It's
That's a very good point, and that's what we need to say that, because there's a there's a decent chance that you start watching the movie, the pace is way different. And I rewatched it a couple times, and I was watching it trying to figure out, well, what could the pace be if this were just bad editing? And you can kind of get a feel for, oh, I could see why this could actually be slower and more Sopranos-y.
I think it's just trying to excite you.
Yeah, I think
that's all it's trying to do. That's the only goal.
Yeah, I could see
they're trying to get, listen, a bunch of, like, the weirdest thing about the past few years has been watching, like, really stupid people discover The Sopranos. The pandemic made all these, like, morons all of a sudden, like, are watching The Sopranos, and they're just, like, they just like mob and guns and Tony and whatever, but they don't get it, really. So I think that this, they might have catered this trailer to those dipshits.
Well, if that's the case, can you imagine how pissed off David Chase is about that trailer?
Probably, yeah. But Sopranos trailers were also different. You ever see a Sopranos trailer that they put out for HBO?
That's a good point.
They're like all they're just big, and the Sopranos is plotting and slow.
Yeah,
Most trailers are bad.
Trailers are hard, but I also think that probably David Chase is like a TV, kind of like a road dog version of a TV guy, where he's just been through the ringer. He's been on the shit. He's writing on Rockford Files. He's been a TV writer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's part of the business at that point. Yeah, but where it's like, part of the business, here's what we do. We come there, we write, we make the best shit we can. He goes to the trailer stuff. He's like, he probably has
I don't think he had any hand.
Right. That's what
he's probably just like, I accept they need to promote it. That's part of the business. They let me make what I want to make.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping.
Let's talk about the real biggest problem here. Is that I'm not sure Michael Gandolfini is that good.
Yeah. I you know,
other than looking like him, I'm not sure I feel a bravado, like I don't feel like it's like he's commanding the role.
Devin's brought this up a lot. I don't think
I felt that too.
Have you seen him? Listen, I hope the best. Though. We watched multiple things he was in. We watched he's in The Deuce, and we watched some other show he's in, and both sequences were pretty bland and not great.
Yeah, and you hate to say it because he's you know, the son of James Gandolfini. You don't want to say a bad word, but okay, we just have to talk about it objectively.
I'm a little afraid. I think this might be like The Godfather 3 with Sofia Coppola.
I will say this. Even if it's the worst piece of shit ever made, it's not going to change anything.
No, it won't change the show at all, obviously.
Yeah.
They're completely separate. There's nobody in the show that's in the movie.
Yeah, separate.
I love that. Thank God. But Michael Gandolfini at the beginning of the trailer's good when he goes, what'd you say?
The phone booth scene, I saw that, and
that's fine.
That seemed like genuine acting. That felt very good to me. Actually.
But when Dickie is telling him, like, how to steal and, like, you don't need to go to school or whatever, and he's, like, gives this, like, grin, it's this overdone, like, I'm trying to look like my dad grin, and it bothered
me. There was a picture I saw on Instagram where it's, like, side by side, Tony and then Michael, and Michael's doing the grin, and that worried me because I was like, you're not. Because
I think he's in his head a little bit. I mean, tremendous pressure. I give it up to the kid, like, taking on this role.
Well, that's the director's fault. If he's bad.
But it's also David Chase's fault. If David Chase just chose, like, just because he looks like him.
He's
like,
not directing. I think once he relinquished director stuff,
you're acting like on The Sopranos when the episodes David Chase doesn't direct, that he was just showing up and being like, that's what you guys made? All right, cool. Like, we're running with it. He controls everything. Everything runs through him like a filter.
He was the showrunner on The Sopranos. So on a TV show, when you hire a director, they're not like a movie director. On a movie, the director becomes the showrunner, right?
Yeah, okay, sure.
So my fear is that, you know, David,
you don't think he's there every day.
I highly doubt
you don't think
it.
Him and Alan Taylor have an incredibly close.
Really,
they're very. I know they're very close.
I think he was there every day. He had
Chase was on set
every day.
I think that would be a disaster if you had David Chase on set when a guy's trying to direct a movie, I think that would be constant.
David Chase
turmoil.
Directed that Not Fade Away, the movie about his life, kind of like, yeah. like, and I just think he had to. I can't imagine he's not highly involved every
I don't
single
think
day.
So. I think he's getting old. I think when you make a guy the director of a movie, you have it's going to be like a too many cooks in the kitchen situation. I think probably once he made that decision, he probably made peace with the fact that he's giving control to somebody else.
Okay,
I just don't believe regular rules apply to this. This is like David Chase.
Yeah, that's the
baby.
Thing. I don't think.
And
I don't think it's
so
like some
close.
Normal I production. Yeah. I think this
it's
is
not
like,
a normal production, but I think that that is such an old convention. I think that's such an established role. I don't think you can really change it. I think that probably there's a reason that there's one director on movies, and it's because if there isn't, it's a fucking disaster.
Yeah, we'll see. Another thing I wasn't huge on. I don't. You said you know. Yeah, Vera Farmiga as Livia.
You don't like her?
Ah, the nose. It's like a little fake, obvious
fake
nose.
It did look a little fake.
It's like, I'm like, what is with, like, does everything have to be like the
Irishman?
But
maybe that's just because we know what she looks like.
The makeup and lighting in
general. Here's the thing that I don't understand. The lady, obviously, I guess she's too old. The lady that plays Livia, young Livia, in The Sopranos when they do the flashbacks is like, is incredible. Like, she's, like, seems just like Nancy Marchand just as a young woman. She was like a perfect young Livia.
That's what I thought about
I
Johnny Soprano,
I guess,
too, though.
And Johnny Soprano felt perfect, too. But I guess they're. Well, Johnny Soprano died. The actor that played Johnny Soprano recently died.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace.
How recent?
Literally like a month ago. 2 months ago.
Oh, well, then they could have used him.
Yeah,
they probably killed him.
He was probably too old.
They probably killed him by using Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
He was like, he's probably like telling his wife, like, oh, honey, they're making a Sopranos movie. We're going to be fine. Don't worry about it, sugar tits. You can relax. He goes, everything's going to be just fine. Little Johnny Jr.'s going to school. We were all good. And then they go, hey, Ray Liotta got the role. He probably drank himself to death.
He might have killed himself because he didn't get his own role. He's like, I'm already Johnny Soprano. I can't be him.
He killed himself. But go
is
on.
Is Ray Liotta Johnny Soprano?
No, I don't know. Said that. I don't know.
I think he is because he goes, stay away from my nephew.
He says,
or stay away from your nephew.
No, so it can't be.
No, stay away
you
from your nephew.
Oh, so he's my son.
Referring to his son.
I guess
but I can't remember. Did Johnny Soprano go to prison? Did he die in prison? I can't remember.
No.
I feel embarrassed.
He died of cancer or something.
Yeah. He died of cancer.
But he goes in and out of prison.
Well, no, but here's the thing.
Or jail throughout the
here's
show.
The thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be natural if he was talking about his own son, I don't think he would say, stay away from your nephew. I think there's no way. That would be way more personal.
No, that
close family.
In the mafia, they talk like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't say my son. He goes, stay away from
him. Yeah, that's
like
a possible.
Who's now involved?
It's possible. Yeah. I could see it. It is possible.
What I'm really excited to find out about is whether or not, I mean, I already think the cop, when Tony showed the cop to Christopher, who killed his father.
That's what I want to find out about.
I don't think he did.
I want to know who the fuck killed.
I think it was a setup.
I think it was a setup. Yeah, Tony just needed that guy dead for whatever reason in the show, and that's why he had Christopher kill him, and he knew it would also like make Christopher love Tony more and like trust him more. But I don't think Dickie Moltisanti was killed by a cop bringing home a TV tray.
Right, yeah.
That's kind of one of the things that I don't like about it, though, is because the reason The Sopranos was so good is because they gave you those situations where there wasn't a clear answer. So now that they're like, hey, we're about to give you a bunch of clear answers, it's like you're kind of fucking shitting on the whole...
They're messing up the...
I think
they're messing up the layered
or whatever.
Ethos
The
Sopranos.
I think
but it's a one and done. We won't die on it.
I'll watch it, and I'm going to love every second of it, but I might walk away going like...
No, you're right about that, Joey, though.
I'm
worried about that.
Worried.
It's almost like the movie should never have been made.
I'll go and I'll watch
it. You're really scared.
Even if it's amazing. Well, because the unknown in The Sopranos is The Sopranos. That's what's like one of the incredibly special things about The Sopranos is the ambiguity.
Yes,
I would bet my life that there's still cliffhangers at the end, and there's a new thing where you go.
You know it already doesn't make sense. You know it already. You know there's already a huge flaw. Tony Soprano in 1967 was like
That's not true. That's not true. There's multiple ages of Tony in this.
Oh, in the movie. Okay.
Yeah, there's multiple actors that play Tony.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so that's Tony in like the 70s.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Tony
when Johnny Soprano didn't show up to Livia's miscarriage. Livia had a miscarriage and Johnny was out cheating on her.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So a bunch of ages.
I wonder if there's going to be a big thing about like panic attacks, like Tony having panic attacks, like because Livia was eating the big pop, the big roast.
Oh yeah. His, I'm sure, listen, and I kind of hope it doesn't because it's another, like, super fan service.
Yes, exactly.
Thing. But honestly, what in my perfect movie, it's like the shit that we saw of Michael Gandolfini is the only stuff in the movie. Like, you know,
yeah,
God,
I don't think
God
he's
bless
in it
him.
That much.
I hope he's not, but so
I agree.
And,
no, I agree.
And if he's in
he's
it.
He's just not a seasoned actor.
If he's in it and he's great, then I love it.
I can already. Listen, I'll make. I'm gonna put my foot down right here. He's not gonna be great.
I don't think so either.
He's gonna be fine. It may like maybe he. I don't think he's a central focus of the movie. I know he looks like a central focus of the movie. I think he's there to keep the plot
I
going.
I hope it's all about Dickie.
But I think it's mostly Dickie and the other people. So I'm not saying it's gonna ruin the movie, but I can kind of permanently tell you right now he's not gonna be great.
If it's artful at all, and I don't want to say at all, but if it's my the way that I envision like an artful depiction of this is that they just pepper in Sopranos guys, and like so there's a pivotal moment where the main character is doing something and then Paulie pops in and just helps him real quick and then is gone. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, this is a separate story. You know, and
you think they're gonna have the sequence when Paulie's telling Tony the story about being with his dad on a road trip through the we're in the fucking deep south, and his dad like tells him to say some like you know
that's
like,
its own movie. There's no way they're fitting that in.
Yeah, no, do you
think they'll have the Tony having a panic attack when Blundetto is like he has the panic attack and that's why he didn't show up for Blundetto?
Yeah, young Blundetto's in it, right?
I don't know.
I bet he has
Tony
to be.
B.
I assume so. Yeah,
he has to.
I hope Tony Uncle Al and Tony Uncle John. I mean Tony Uncle
somebody,
Al. Maybe.
We wouldn't hear somebody say that.
So Tony Uncle Al.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony Uncle Johnny.
Yeah.
Then there was Tony Uncle so and so. I forget. And then he goes, but he passed away. Rest in peace. My God! This is too much.
I wonder if what's the timeline? Like, when was Christopher born? What year?
I don't. Imagine if I knew. I should be killed.
You're like
if
May
I knew.
12th, 1997.
Yeah, imagine if I said, like,
Kevin
a fake
pulls out his
date.
ID. It's like, it's got.
I go, I have Christopher Moltisanti's identification.
I had this made with his info from the show.
Yeah, I don't know, but Dickie, it is interesting to note, like, Dickie, that's why you understand why Tony talks so highly of Dickie.
He was his father
figure. Because he was his father figure.
Clear in the show.
They make it clear in the show, but also he got him into the mob.
Right.
He gets him into
it. Yeah, yes.
My dad, the great Dickie Moltisanti.
Yeah. How about
Jesus fucking Christ, Tone.
How about his, when he robbed the poker game?
Yeah, maybe that'll be in it.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
Because that might be the, you know, at least in the Michael Gandolfini part, that might be sort of and I don't know if it ends at that age, but that could be like the culmination of like, here's the arc where it's like, you see Dickie seduce him into crime, and then the end is, oh, he just robbed a poker game where he could have died.
Right.
But instead of dying, it's like, all right, kid, you had
balls.
Yeah,
that might you might be
you know?
On. That might be the plot.
Yeah.
That might be the big thing that Tony does.
I could see that.
Yeah. That's why he's saying stay. It's the same exact thing as Tony telling Christopher, keep fucking Jackie Jr. out of this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's actually.
It's the same exact
thing.
When
you put it into that.
It might be a mirror of that where Johnny Soprano's saying, don't stop fucking dealing with my with your nephew.
And you juxtapose time.
And he gets it into it.
You juxtapose time periods of how things have changed.
Yes.
What, you know, if Jackie gets killed, Tony ends up becoming the boss.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one of Tony's friends dies in the thing or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Or maybe they kill somebody else and Tony never mentioned it.
Yeah.
They spared him and
exactly
killed, one of the members of his crew.
Yes. I could see that. Listen, I'm going to love it. We're going to go all together and watch it in the theater.
I'm thinking we go to see the first showing and we stay in the theater all day and we watch it like three times in a row.
I would love that, dude. I would love that. Well, the first one we'll stay sober for it.
Yes. Second one.
Then we'll take the booze out of our
second
pants.
One booze, third one Molly. And we're just standing in the theater like, woo, just doing doing Sopranos voices. Yeah. We get kicked out. It'll be great.
We'll do three reviews. Yeah. It's the sober, the booze, and then the Molly review.
Yes. Jesus fucking Christ, Christopher. It's a $500,000 job. Tone, I don't fucking know. The fucking guy was late. What the fuck do I know? Oh my God, I can't. It's just too much. It's too much.
It's overwhelming.
It's really overwhelming.
It's scary. And also the fact that it's going to be probably the first movie in theaters that we're all excited. Like the big, since COVID, it's going to be the first thing in theaters that it's a big event.
A big event, yeah.
Like back before COVID, we would have like, okay, there's a Scorsese movie this year. Okay, the next year there's a big Tarantino movie. There's there, you know, every
well now that's all couple, we have. That's all the exactly. only events we have are Tarantino, yeah. Scorsese movies, yeah. and we have like maybe one more Scorsese.
Paul Thomas
movie.
Anderson might do something.
Yeah,
you know.
But he's Paul Thomas Anderson used to do that, but now he's all obsessed with his movies about British guys making dresses. And
to be
and,
honest, I love Phantom Thread.
I love Phantom Thread too, but it's like enough. Okay, let's can we make something fun?
That was like well, that was a shit year, but that was like my favorite movie of the year.
It's an amazing movie, and I watched it in theaters like a few times, and I thought it was great. But I'm a little tired of Paul Thomas Anderson like. Needing me to like love really boring like landscapes.
I get that too. Yeah. Go make something kind
Can
of.
Can you make a movie about somebody that's not a dressmaker? Okay, yeah. Believe it or not, PT, this isn't like in that stimulating.
Yeah, make something fun.
Some freak that designs dresses for frumpy bitches in England. I don't care. I mean, hurry up. Get to the part where he's getting poisoned. Okay, I'm sorry. I know it's you made it great because you're an incredible filmmaker, but can we get back to a Boogie Nights landscape? Get back to the Valley.
Yeah,
do some criminals in the
get
Valley.
Some drugs
get some
here.
Drugs involved. I'm not that entertained by a guy eating a British breakfast and trying to you know
he was
get poisoned by a
he was
frumpy
a
broad.
I support the woman. Frumpy's a negative word. Go ahead.
No. Anyway, yeah, you know that's it. Frumpy's not negative.
Well, I just had to say that. But go ahead.
Sure, whatever. I want PT to get back to a fun thing. I'm a little tired. I feel like the last like 5 years of his movies, it was like Inherent Vice, which makes no sense. I don't care about Inherent Vice. It's literally nonsensical. It's just
I didn't even finish
it. It sucks. Yeah, it's a piece of shit.
That movie sucks.
It sucks. It's well, the book is obvious. Also, like my dad read the book, and my dad's like, I have no idea what's going on, and I'm like, well, good for you. You're an intellectual.
Yeah.
Like I don't know.
They're reading nonsense.
I don't know what the point of these things are, where like nobody has any clue what's happening. But so Inherent Vice, I thought sucked. The Master's great.
I like
the Master's.
A lot.
Awesome.
The Master's amazing, but it's also what I'm saying is it's still the slow. Like I just want
get to the action.
Give me an epic.
Give me a Boogie Nights pace.
Give me a Boogie Nights pace. Give me I'll even take There Will Be Blood.
I love There Will Be
Blood. There Will Be Blood's a masterpiece.
I mean, There Will Be Blood.
God damn, of course.
Because even though it's extremely long, there's just something crazy happening every step of the way.
Well, that's like spectacle filmmaking, just like Boogie Nights. It's a different pace, but you're still seeing this weird epic happen. Mm-hmm. It's not some guy in his house where he's making dresses,
which
I love, but not
great movie. I saw it a bunch of times, but I'm
not
just,
as epic.
I'm saying we're at the end of our rope here. If I'm trying to get all my friends to go see a movie about a dressmaker in England.
What was the movie before The Fighter that the guy made?
David O. Russell?
Yeah. Where it was like Mark Wahlberg, and it was like
he made a movie with Mark Wahlberg before the
he
fighter?
Was a firefighter, yeah. So like he made like a real fucking dud that everybody hated.
I didn't even know that. David O. Russell.
David O. Russell made a movie with Mark Wahlberg. It was like an existential film that was like a weird art house movie, and it basically just bombed terribly.
I didn't even.
A couple
know
people liked it. But it was
David Russell. The Fighter's my favorite movie.
Well, that was going to be my point. So he made this terrible kind of art house film, and then he disappeared for a few years. And when he resurfaced, it was The Fighter. And not saying PTA made like a huge dud, but maybe his resurfacing is going to be his Fighter.
Yeah, he's got something in the works. I forget what it is, but it sounded more fun.
He does. Okay.
Yeah.
It's
interesting. He has something in the works.
All right.
But yeah,
I hope so.
I'm in.
I hope so.
And Scorsese's doing the what is it? The flower
Indian movie,
flower of blood, the moon of the flower,
children of the flower
children
moon.
Of the flower moon, or something
that looks
like that.
That sounds awesome.
Sounds great.
There's a trailer, but I read.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a story about Native Americans getting like murdered in mass. True story.
For their oil.
For oil.
Yeah.
And the white guys marrying into the family.
Exactly.
That part of it is just going to be the intellect.
Yeah.
Or
the seduction. Their relationship at home in private.
And, yeah.
That's going to be insane.
Because it's like marrying into money, which is a story told a million times, but at just like such an insane level, you know, war, you know, the Cowboys versus Indians.
White
going
people
on.
Killing Indians for oil.
Well, just
marrying into the family. I mean, we're talking fiction here.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, it's insane.
This is obvious fiction.
Yeah, no, but the fact that just imagine being the dynamic at home when you have a wife, where you're sitting there quietly and you know each other up and down, and the fact that you know, as the husband, I married you only to become your husband so I can legally absorb your oil money when we murder you.
Yeah.
And then knowing that while you're sitting there at dinner and you're fucking.
Mm-hmm.
You're banging.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's why most of my friends are in relationships right now. They're all trying to get that oil money.
I know, not just sitting there and she's like, should we get a Roomba? And you're just like, I can't wait to kill you.
Can't wait to fucking take your oil money, bitch.
She goes, take out the trash. She goes, what? The trash is building up. What are you doing? He's just going, oh, I can't wait.
Do you think we should change the blue to green in the guest bedroom? You fucking Native American bitch.
He turns around and he just pulls out a big buck knife and he's just like, oh, I can't wait. Puts it back in. He's like, yes, honey, right away.
Anything to drink? And then he goes in. She's like, ah, could you make like a salt rim? And could you actually grab some snacks, some nuts? Just, and he's just like sharpening
a
knife.
Out again,
he's like, just one day, just soon, I'm going to take that oil money and I'm going to kill this bitch. Yeah. Well, I mean, that the many saints in Newark, huh? It's also going to have...
The fuck was that?
Great transition. Johnny Carson over here.
It's also going to... Also, we're forgetting a huge role in the movie, is that it's like the riots, the Newark riots.
Oh, yes, indeed. Should we just tell Joey about Gino?
Yeah, we met this guy named Gino, this Italian guy, on our Patreon. We have a full recap. Mafia weed.
I heard about this on the Patreon, and I'm gonna actually buy the Patreon because it sounds like such a great episode.
It was an incredible recap of this guy we met at a bar.
He wants
Gino
us to come back to Bon Vivant.
Yeah, he's a regular. He stays there all the time.
He's like, you guys coming back?
At where?
Bon Vivant.
Bon Vivant. It's weird. All these hardened guys hang out at this like fucking like kind of
bougie like half coffee shop.
Why are you guys there?
I used to work there, so they give me free stuff. All
so we go because he gets free stuff, and we just sit around and
yeah, it's
riff,
a great place cool, to just whatever. Hang out.
But this guy Gino shows up, who's in the weed business. He's like 65. He starts telling us all about his past, like growing up in New York and getting recruited by his family to be in the mafia.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where they sat him down. His uncles literally took him out of school one day and they go, we've been watching you. You're good.
Yeah.
You're good. You did this right. You did that right. Like, we want to get you in.
And it sounds like a guy you'd instantly be like, he's lying. Because a lot of New York guys do that, but sure. I don't know. There was something about Gino where I don't think he was lying. Because
he was testing the waters with us. Yeah. I could tell he didn't want to talk to us that much at the beginning, and then he liked us enough that he started. Well,
New York guys exaggerate, but they're not going to just completely cook up a fairy tale.
No. He said his brother was like the hothead of the family, like crazy. Yeah. Like his brother got kicked out of school. And he hated this teacher, so he went and he bought all the balls from pinball machines, and he got a slingshot, and he shot out all the windows of all the faculty's cars in the parking lot. And when they asked him,
like, why'd you get pinball machines? He's like, what am I supposed to find 30 bricks?
So that guy went to prison. His brother went to prison. He died in prison. He got shanked to death by black Muslims.
Yeah, because in a prison riot.
Gino said his brother wasn't too a fan of black people.
He didn't like.
He didn't. He got really angry around black people.
Well,
so
I mean,
in prison,
that's standard prison race
standard
war.
Prison yeah, race yeah, war. Yeah. So he was killed in a race war in prison. He goes, Gino says that when he was 12 years old, this goes to the many saints in Newark, when he was 12 years old, he was handing out sandwiches to the mafia during the riots.
Yeah, he said like all the grandmothers and mothers would make sandwiches all day.
And the kids would run around during the riots, like handing them out to
and he's, like,
Italian like
sandwiches.
Union members and mafiosos. And he says that one day he was standing at a street corner in front of some buildings. And this dude that worked for John Gotti, who killed like 28 people for John Gotti,
he said the name, but I can't
forget his name. Yeah. He was standing there, and these, I guess, black guys from the other,
from the riots, pull up.
One guy gets out. Did they pull out a weapon?
Yeah, I guess.
They pulled out weapons or something. I forget the story.
He gets out of the car, immediately just gets...
And they immediately get lit up by bullets. Immediately. Like 20, 30 bullets. Headshots. Yeah. And Gino, 12-year-old Gino, standing there holding sausage and pepper sandwiches watching this. And he goes, the minute that they were killed, kids ran out of this like barber shop. They grabbed the bodies with hooks. They pulled the the bodies out of the car. They unscrew the sewer drain. They throw them down the sewer drain. They close it up. Then other kids run out and sweep up.
Jesus
Another guy starts spraying
Christ.
Down spraying down the spraying all the blood away. And then people start walking towards, and he goes, it's as if nothing happened.
That's actually
a minute and a half. And did they go missing? And he like laughs at me. He goes, missing. They were like, you know, they were from another county.
Yeah. No, yeah, like, no one came.
Nobody cares.
You know, I've heard a million mafia stories. That's all I watch only true crime, basically. Content, and I've seen every single Sammy the Bull interview. I've seen every single mafia interview. This sounds like insanely new. Like I've never heard anything like that.
I know. It's,
I'm going on the Patreon when I go home,
dude. It was the hook. The
great
hooks.
Plug.
Yeah. When he said that they had hooks and that they unscrewed the sewer and threw the bodies down there and then sprayed the blood away, and then he said 20 seconds later, all these regular people started walking towards them, and everyone just started like whistling and
yeah,
like,
we didn't see anything.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jeez.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Did you get his phone number?
No, but I asked him when he's there, and he goes, every day.
Every day. We'll be back.
Every time I've been there, next time
you guys go, I'll come with.
Met this other guy, Carlos, who was sitting next to him. He was a truck driver, but he was like the same age as Gino. He's also from the same area in Brooklyn. And Carlos, he has no teeth, and he talks like literally like an Irishman character. He's like, hey, my name, any guy with a voice like that, you're like, you've killed people.
Yeah,
he's trying
to eat.
He lost his voice from screaming in the middle of violent rages.
This is the good bread.
Yeah, good bread.
Gino is talking about how he knew guys that like around like 34, 35 years old. Back in New Jersey, New York, or whatever, they start getting hard up for money. They have a family; it's hard to support. They drove garbage trucks. They would then finally go to the mafia and like try to make a deal. Like, yeah, do this. Mafia. They'd all go missing. They all wound up dead.
Of course.
And the mafia would take over their route or whatever. And he said, like, he knew like multiple guys from high school where they just literally just, but yeah, they're dead. They all wound up dead.
I mean,
missing, dead.
That's the story. That's what people say. If you get involved with a mafia, you go to jail or you get killed. So that sounds right, and that's insane.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to meeting this man and potentially swearing my life.
I wanted to ask him, like, can I join something? How do I join a thing?
You know, we should corner him and put a gun to his head and say, what do you think about the Many Saints of Newark trailer?
Dude, it was amazing because he's like talking about like, he goes like he had another brother. He's talking about like how his other brother like died of like a brain tumor. And he's like graphically describing like in the brain, like where the tumor was and all this. And then in the middle of describing his brain tumor, like a woman walks into the silhouette of the bar and he goes, oh, look at that. That's pretty good. And then he goes right back to be like, so anyway, the tumor is at the front of the head.
His hippocampus.
He goes, inoperable. He died pretty quick. And he goes, oh, look at that. I like to take a piece out of that ass. Like in the middle of talking about his dead brother. Wild.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
that guy sounds awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. There's more to it. I don't want to reveal everything.
Yeah,
don't tell everything.
I think I've essentially told all the best things.
No, there's a couple more. Please sign up, please.
Oh my goodness,
there's more.
But no, that was amazing, and I can't wait to drink with him for the rest of my life, and hopefully be killed by the mafia.
I completely understood.
Being
I would like to be killed.
What an honor.
I'd like to be killed by the mafia.
It's way cooler than just dying normally.
Dude, I have this internet poker friend that I used to play poker with on the internet, and I didn't even know he was in Los Angeles, but I was in this group where we talked poker strategy, and we're like, all right, well, you know, here, you know, let's discuss this hand. Would you play this hand in this position with these bet size, blah, blah. And then eventually I said something where he's like, oh, wait, you're in Los Angeles? You should come play a game with me. And he starts inviting me to places around Los Angeles, and he's like a Mexican dude, and he's playing in private home games, not at casinos.
Right.
I went to a casino with him, but he starts going like, oh, you should come to this game. It's a home game. It's you know, here's the stakes. Here's what we're playing. I go, what do you, you know, so it's like an illegal game.
Right.
I'm like, is that, and he's like, yeah, but they got an armed guard.
Yeah, you're like, is that Frank Sinatra Jr.?
Well, so he goes, no, they got an armed guard. I'm like, an armed guard? I'm like, so they're scared of getting, like, robbed then. He's like, oh, yeah, that happens sometimes. And I go, you're making it sound like this is a dangerous thing to do. And then he goes, no, it's all good. And then he goes, he texts me again like a few days later. He goes, hey, I'm at the game. You want to come? And he sends me a picture. It's him and Snoop Dogg showed up to the game.
Wow.
It's a picture of him. You know, he stood up and he's taking a picture of Snoop Dogg at this weird private home game. And he's with, by the way, do you guys recognize this chick?
Snoop Dogg's everywhere, by the way. Snoop Dogg has like 80 jobs.
I know.
He's everywhere. He's in every commercial. He comments on everything.
He's in everything.
So many commercials.
He was making fun of Bill Cosby's accusers the other day. Did you see that, Gerardo? Yeah, he's like
he loves defending Bill Cosby.
Look at
the chick next to Snoop. That she's famous. Who is that?
I don't know who that is.
She look familiar?
She looks like kind of Native American, honestly.
She's like black mixed.
I don't know. Why is Snoop Dogg wearing a mask? I didn't know he was. Well, I didn't know he was a little.
Well, I think this was like a while ago.
Okay, no one else wearing a mask. But
I guess Snoop is like, hey, if I'm gonna go hang out with a bunch of dirty poker players, he's like, fuck it.
I've noticed black people are still worried about COVID. They're a little bit. They still wear masks. I saw a whole table full of black people sitting at a patio the other day, all with masks on until the food came.
Well, if you're at this game, you want a mask. And also, poker is like a thing where you're touching chips, then like you're touching cards that another guy was touching, and then. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah.
But anyways.
These are like degenerates.
But I'm being invited.
Snoop Dogg's like, yeah, he can't even believe he's there.
I'm invited to this game, though. And I'm going to go.
You got
to
go, dude.
I have to go.
Can people come and just watch?
Yeah, I think so.
But then we get robbed.
Well, you might get robbed. But you don't have any money. What are they going to take?
I mean, I don't know. What if they take my unemployment card?
Well, they might take your like phone or something.
Yeah, it's an old phone, whatever.
But I'm saying you don't have any. So, like, I mean, if you're playing poker, I'm not saying you don't have any money. But if you have money on the
table. Did he say people show up sometimes? Like we're saying, like Jackie Jr.
Yeah.
and Dino, and they
yes,
rob.
That's
the game.
Why they have an armed guard.
Fuck. I forgot about the armed guard.
Yeah,
I thought he was just there for
what
show.
What part of armed guard? Don't
yeah.
you understand?
I just thought he was there for show.
No, you're playing poker, and there's a guy sitting there sweating. Who's got a napkin every once in a while, and he's got a gun on his side. He's ready to shoot people.
Really ready to defend everyone's life there, or is he ready to run away?
Well, so that
people run in. What does he care?
That's a great question. He agreed to protect people, but who knows when it actually goes down?
Anyone being paid to protect anybody.
Yeah, I was at a restaurant on the promenade last night. There was security. Yeah, he had a gun, but what you're gonna jump for these people?
What's he gonna do? What does he give a shit about some drunks at Barney's Beanery?
Yeah,
let him die.
I've said this before, but I'm always playing that scenario. That's
seriously. Why is he supposed to like he's supposed to risk his life for some guy at fucking, you know, Pink Taco?
No, he's going, I'm not getting paid enough for this shit, and he's jogging away.
He runs away.
Yeah.
No one kills anyone in front of the pink wall on Melrose.
Exactly.
He goes, for the pink wall! Defend the wall! Sprints into the line of fire.
He jumps in front of an influencer's board.
Yeah. No, realistically, probably 1% of those guys are real heroes.
Yeah.
So
none of them are.
None of them. Oh, no, some.
No.
Some.
They're cowards with guns. I'll say it right
now.
Well,
no, actually.
We'll go
I know of a couple
live,
of. I know.
No, I know. I'm sure they fight. I'm sure they defend things here and there.
I would.
More about just the fact that there's a guy with a gun there. There's a guy with a gun there. I won't rob it.
Exactly. So that's what happens. It's like everybody playing poker there. If you lose all your money and then you go back home to your friends and you have like a couple of friends that are gangsters and you're like, you're smoking weed, you're getting drunk. You're like, man, I think this game, we could rob it. Mm-hmm. I think we could rob this game.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a guy with a gun, he's like, they're like, oh, well, should we rob the game? And he's probably going like, nah, there's a guy with a gun. I don't think we could do it.
Yeah.
So it's just enough to kind of, you know, assuade you, mm-hmm. a forced entry robbery.
I'm the guy that gets shot by the security because I'm like trying to pull gum out. I'm like, just pull him out. And he looks aggressive and he just kills me.
Yeah.
And that's the story
for
the rest of my life.
It's Jimmy Betts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Jimmy fucking Betts. I don't know. I think he's a bookie. What does a bookie do?
We'll go, and you guys can come.
Gerardo, you ever play high stakes poker? You play poker though. You ever had any mafia encounters? Any like Mexican mafia encounters? Yeah. I assume all Mexicans have some Mexican mafia connection.
Yeah, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah, but not really. Yeah.
Do you have like an uncle who knows a guy in the cartel?
No, Gerardo's
maybe he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
it's code of silence, dude.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about it.
No, I want to talk. I want to know about this.
I was just told not to go to certain bars when I was in Mexico. And then I saw
Lion. What city?
Tepatitlan.
Oh, that sounded
I've been
that
there.
Sounded really good.
Say it again.
I know that place.
That was amazing. It sounded like you're tap dancing with your mouth. Tepatitlan.
It's Tepa.
Go say the whole thing.
Tepatitlan. Tepatitlan.
Is that like Aztec?
Tepatitlan.
No, I don't know.
Minor. It sounds like, you know, what's the famous place, the temple? Anyways, I love it, and I want to come visit.
Joey moved right past it. It's like, I don't got time.
I'm like, nobody,
like, I don't have time to remember things.
These bozos are going to know. No, moving right along.
They told you what not bars not to go to. Interesting, interesting.
And you can see why.
Right, right, yeah.
All right.
Hmm. All right. That's the first bar that I would go to. I don't go there. I go, all right. I show up blackout drunk with
so you're Mexican gangster.
You were hanging with ex-cartel.
Yeah, I went to Mexico one time. I did. Yeah. I went to Mexico and I showed up on a boat dock because I was obsessed with catching a big tuna fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a boat dock and I go, I'm asking everybody that I see. I go, Can I go on your boat and can we go tuna fishing? Everyone's like, no, shut. Like, they're all like, you white idiot, get away from me. And then finally I saw somebody that was like, yeah, I got a boat. I got girls. I got everything.
Yeah.
He goes,
he's like a Southern guy.
He goes, I got the green. I got the white. He's doing all that thing. And then, he ended up being a guy that was banned from America because for attempted murder.
Right.
So he did many years in prison, and then somehow I guess you can just kick somebody out for a felony mm-hmm. if you're born in Mexico or something like that. And so yeah, I'm a man of the people. What can I tell you?
I mean, Cosby got out on a technicality. Have you heard?
I know all about this.
Even it's like crazy. It's just because they said if he admits it, if he admits that he raped, then that you get like a lighter sentence, and then they brought that up later. They're like, well, he admitted it, like, he doesn't have to serve any jail time.
So what happened was there was not enough evidence to prosecute him in a criminal case, but there was enough evidence to do a civil case. So they basically told Cosby, like, hey, so we're charging you, or not charging you, you're being sued for a civil suit, and the punishment can only be financial. So... there will be a judgment, and they will decide how much money you owe this woman for what you did to her, for however bad you fucked her over. They'll think about it. What's the proper amount that you owe? And then they said, but because there's no possibility of charging you criminally ever, you don't have the Fifth Amendment. And if you lie, we can still charge you with perjury. So then it can become criminal if you lie. So what happened was, in his testimony, he ended up saying criminal stuff. He ended up incriminating himself about the actual rape. So then, like, sometime later, another group of people got together and they were like, okay, so we didn't have enough evidence to charge him on the criminal charge, but now we do because of that testimony. Even though they promised him, if you can say whatever you want and we cannot charge you. So somehow, by the way, like, the guy's obviously guilty. He deserves to go to jail, blah, blah, blah. But it is odd that the federal government can sit there and basically, tell you one thing and then use it, again. So, but
the justice system's just completely
fucked. It's not quite entrapment, but it's like they found a loophole and they used it to charge him. But
they drugged the court.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I right?
A little Kool-Aid.
Am I right, folks?
Very
it's
good.
As if they roofied the damn judge.
Very good. But so anyways, Cosby's lawyer eventually came in and was like, no, this we have to throw this out. And it went to the Supreme Court, and they were like...
What, babe? Hey, check the jury's drinks.
I guess
Bill Cosby's in the room. What did he? What did he slip him? Slip him some Spanish fly? The judge is a little delirious.
You little sleepy judge.
Little sleepy. Anyway, all right, moving on.
So stupid.
So dumb.
But so they
raped Bill Cosby raped the judge.
He
too.
Raped the judge.
He'd be like, judge, I hear you. Have a little some soup. I made some soup for everybody.
Bill Cosby raped the whole courtroom.
He lifted the robe over the judge's head and just pinned him down.
He literally. Bill Cosby raped the whole courtroom. They're all, he's getting off. Everyone's just sleepy inside the courtroom.
Even the bailiff is asleep.
The bailiff's, he's sleeping. The
bailiff's pants are down, sleeping.
Everybody wakes up. Bill Cosby's like, are we ready to go? You guys, yeah. I'm here.
He goes, so much of sleepy heads.
Bunch of sleepy heads.
He goes, somebody didn't take a nap last night, huh? All right, let's get this thing going. And they're all like pulling their pants up. Like, what the hell, Cosby?
I like how in this situation, Bill Cosby's also gay. He like doesn't care. He's just raping everybody.
He's just in it for the thrill.
He's in it for the thrill at this point.
He's not even attracted to
him. He's like he's just an evil genius.
Yeah, he just goes, how can I rape everyone?
How can I rape everyone?
What's the smartest way to rape everyone?
He goes, my plan all along was to eventually rape a federal court.
He's like a jigsaw for it's all a big setup to rape a judge. But anyways, no. So Cosby, he there was a weird legal thing, obviously guilty, weird legal thing. Lawyer eventually took it to the Supreme Court and they were finally like, we know he's guilty, but yeah, that was a weird legal loophole.
Yeah.
And then they just said, all right, get out of here, Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
You rascal.
You rascal, you.
You got away with it.
They were like, hey. Yeah.
Come on now, scram.
Scram, you wacky bastard.
At least, you wacky bastard. That's what they said. I mean, he's so old, it's like he's not... He'll die in the next couple of years.
That's the thing. He's got the crazy... the eyes are looking different ways.
Yeah,
and
he's nuts.
He's all wacky.
The state of Pennsylvania, we hereby claim, get out of here, you wacky bastard.
The judge with the gavel goes,
Order!
Get out of here, you silly Billy!
He goes, on count one of federal rape, get out of here, you wacky rascal. Get the hell out of here, don't come back.
I charge.
Scram! Scram! Just go! No, it's going to be exciting to see what he does, though, now on Twitter.
It will be. He's gone tour already.
Yeah.
He's probably already on tour.
He'll sell out.
Yeah.
Black people think he's innocent.
They do.
It's the OJ syndrome.
Yeah, it is.
It's they, you
what
know.
Was Snoop Dogg saying?
Snoop Dogg's like just like making fun of the accusers in like some video real quick. He's like they're, it's like a real quick video, but he's just in the studio somewhere like making people laugh, and he's like, and then I went back a third time and he slipped, and I go, shut up bitch.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Snoop.
It's amazing.
Snoop, you're a poker player. Hold yourself a little higher.
It's amazing that Snoop Dogg does stuff like that, and he's just like still like in like Corona commercials, and he's in everything. He's like,
he's uncancelled.
He's got an out because...
White people are just terrified. Yeah, 50 exactly, Cent, Snoop Dogg, they go on The View every week and they just talk about like pistol whipping people and saying, calling gay people the F word.
White people go, he's a
rapper, you know.
He didn't have it good. He can pistol whip.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, pistol, so what? He pistol whips.
He goes, I'd be pistol whipping if I was him.
I should be pistol whipped. I'm an evil white man.
I should be pissed.
I should be. White people just watch that and say, like, I pistol whip me, 50. Please. Oh, I hope the game kicks my ass.
There are so many white people like
guilty
that.
White idiots. Yeah. And I'm not guilty. No.
And I have no
We've
guilt.
Done nothing wrong. It's weird that Bill Cosby's out of prison and Sha'Carri Richardson can't compete in the Olympics because she smoked weed.
They're going to let her in. They'll let her.
There's a lot of public pressure. I hope they do. I think Seth Rogen, a lot of people have been tweeting about it.
I read that they're going to do it suspend her retroactively.
So she'll be suspended when?
I guess retro means in the past. I don't know what retro
means. It does. Yes, that does.
Like, we suspend Sha'Carri Richardson when she was 15 years old. It does.
So if she tests hot for weed and you retroactively suspend her, they might be implying that the piss test came in, you know, 3 weeks ago or something. And so the suspension starts from 3 weeks ago. And then so by the time the Olympics starts, she's off suspension rather than still being on.
Right.
But my friend texted me and said that there's a clause where if you go to treatment, then they can, there's a, you know, okay. They'll let you compete.
So she's got to do that.
It's just so lame. There's no way right now in this year that you can.
She's the biggest story up until that story. It was like she won. Yeah. She went and hugged her mom.
Yeah. The Olympics is a struggling organization. At the end of the day, they're a business. They got their biggest star. They're going to suspend her because she fucking
smoked. Yeah, Sha'Carri Richardson can't compete, but we can have like 14-year-old Chinese girls
on
that
steroids?
Have been like on steroids that have been being abused, just like forced to you know, jump around.
Exactly. Everyone's fucking, to quote Nate Diaz, everyone's on steroids.
Yeah.
And you can't let, you know, some chicks smoke a little weed.
You're damn right. Everyone's on steroids. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not, but I should be.
I am.
And let's face it, Sha'Carri Richardson, probably the best looking person in the entirety of the Olympics.
Probably. What's the girl, the Simone Biles or whatever?
Hey, Simone Biles.
She's got that gymnast body, though, where it's flat.
Yeah.
Too muscular for me.
Yeah, yeah.
My taste.
I was gonna go Greg Louganis. was he an Olympian? Yeah, diver. Yeah.
Michael Phelps was hot.
Phelps was a hot piece of ass.
Yeah.
How long have we done? Not really. He had huge ears.
Wow,
you
know, that was 120.
But that's swimmer's
butt.
I know.
You're making
that's
a gay, a little like I'm gay, Joe. Yeah. I'm a little fruit. I'm Joey LaFleur, a little fruit.
You really poked a hole in that goof, didn't you?
All right, it's hot as shit in here.
Yeah, it is.
How
really
much
hot.
Time?
120.
We did an hour. And all right,
that's a big pause.
We did a huge Many Saints of Newark breakdown. Yeah. We had a little panic attack. We talked about the Dagestani dwarf.
The baby, the super baby.
Super baby.
Yeah, they just heard it.
So they all heard it.
Super baby's a sweet nickname, even for an adult.
Super baby. The super baby.
That's sick.
Super baby.
Anyways, that's gonna happen. By the way, Patreon.
We're gonna get that done.
Patreon. If you want updates on that, Patreon.
Check out the Patreon for more. We're really we're doing some fun things on the Patreon.
And now we're people that remind you every episode, please, you know, subscribe.
We don't want to do this. I hate myself.
Yeah. Subscribe, leave a thing, tell your friends.
Yeah. Yeah, all that. Please leave a review.
A review.
Just like press the 5-star thing.
You're saying it so begrudgingly and so slobbily. Because
they know they don't want to do it. At this point,
you're the worst salesman of all time. You're going, I don't know. It sucks, but sign. You go, hey, we got the best content on the Patreon. We got great stuff. That's the move.
We do.
What I just heard, I'm about to cancel my Patreon.
Can you give us a salesman lesson real quick?
Fuck.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Put the camera on, Joey.
Fuck. Okay.
Can you do it?
Give me a little bit, but... Here's the thing. I've been planning a lot of stuff for the Patreon. I've got content ready to go, including baby fights, superstar babies. I've got midgets from Dagestan who are coming over to the country. I'm in talks with a super baby's father. He's in my phone. I've been talking to him all day. I showed you a small clip, but I was on the phone with him for a long time. I'm competing in a fight. On top of that, we've got guests coming in from you wouldn't believe. We got criminals. We got guys that were in the mafia who have stories about dragging kids who were trained to drag bodies into the gutter.
Damn right.
Okay, I've got bank robbers. My friend Matthew Cox. He's the most notorious con man on earth. He was the Secret Service's most wanted man.
Will Cox do it? Do you want
to do it? I talked to Cox. I talked to him.
Wow.
I talked to
we
him.
Got Cox. Whoa.
I talked to him yesterday.
I love Cox.
So that's excellent.
That's great. That's a good promo. I'll put that on the Patreon. Yeah, yeah.
So if you can't leave a review, subscribe to the Patreon.
Yes.
Help us out. Knowing all that.
Sounded like a goof, but that's all real shit.
That's
that
all
we're
real.
Doing.
We're actually we played bullshit. The video on the podcast. You're talking to a fucking the dad of a super baby.
So I have super babies in my network.
And check out Matt. I have super babies in my network. So did Epstein.
Whoa.
All right, I gotta pee. Let's get out.
On the Dana White of super babies, Patreon.
Damn fucking right.
Can you clap for me? No. Too many claps.
Oh, okay. Just my bad.
Gerardo's tired of our horseshit.
It's hot as shit in here.
I could see Gerardo was pissed off the entire episode.